The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on the Breakfast Huddle. Well, looks like a mostly lower open across Asian markets this morning, following a rather choppy session overnight on Wall Street. And to help us make sense of what's happening in the markets right now, we've got some help from Terence Chua, Senior Research Analyst at SAC Capital. Morning, Terence. How you been doing?
Good morning, Ryan. Good.
Quite a busy week, even though it's a shorter work week, right?
Yes, yes. The geopolitical tensions has dominated headlines like March of 2019.
So it sounds like you have been having a busy few days. So I'm just going to dive into what's really making the headlines over the past few days and today.
Sure.
So we just talked about how bond yields have been causing some worries because of the inversion of the 2-year versus the 10-year yields for the first time since 2007. And now the 3-year yields, that is now pushing record lows.
Yes.
Help us make sense of what's happening here. How worried should we be on these indicators? Because this is pretty much, some people are saying, you have to wait for this to be pronounced. You have to wait for this to be really taken into consideration with other indicators as well.
Yes. So the bond yield curve, in theory, the bond yield curve is supposed to give higher yields, longer-term maturities, because investors should be rewarded for holding bonds for a longer period. Mm. But what we see now is an inversion of this, like what you mentioned. So that what that means is that investors are actually being paid lower yields in the later periods.
And they're willing to take the lower yields.
One of these reasons, I think there are two reasons for this. One of the reasons is because they are trying to lock in a long-term 10-year rates or the 30-year rates, like what you mentioned, at these levels, which they think might go lower in the future.
So overall, they're expecting rates across the board to drop, but they want to lock in the long-term rates of 10 years instead of buying maybe 2 years and keep buying it every two years, five times. So they are trying to lock in a safe, certain return over 10 years.
Yes, because the Fed controls the short-term end of the curve, and then the market controls the long end. So with the short end now at about 2%, I think market watchers are expecting that there's further downside for the short-term end of the curve. And so the long end of the curve should also correspondingly go down. I think the second reason that I also mentioned is that because price and yield is inversely related, so when the yields start to fall in the future, the bond price, the 10-year bond price, will also correspondingly increase. Traders can then profit from the corresponding price increase.
So Terence, what is really driving this movement? Is it people getting actually spooked by the movement in the bonds itself and it's just feeding into itself and going into cycles, or is this really reflecting other uncertainties elsewhere?
Right, so the geopolitical tension definitely is a big move behind why investors are going to bonds. I think we are seeing a classic case of flight to safety. You see a lot of investor institutional money moving to bonds instead of moving out of equities. And that's the reason why you see equity markets taking a tumble and moving into bonds.
We are talking about how this is actually a perfect storm of many factors. You have trade tensions between South Korea and Japan, and also the unrest in Hong Kong. How much has this been affecting the markets, and how long more will this affect the markets?
I think how long more is difficult to answer, but it's almost like the perfect storm, right? So the sentiment now is negative. I think investors are generally cautious now in terms of making too overt moves in the equity markets, and without any signs of any rebound or recovery or any end to some of these tensions that's happening, especially in the near region, I think the markets will continue to be weaker.
All right, we're chatting with Terence Chua. He is a senior research analyst at SAC Capital. Terence, so you've got your eye on the markets. What has actually been the impact in terms of confidence when you talk about IPOs, when your clients are looking at listing? Are they taking a step back to reconsider the timeline, the valuations? What's happening when you look at this area?
Right. I think there are many different factors behind companies' decision in terms of listing. Valuations being, of course, an important factor, but there are other factors that they would consider as well, such as the publicity that they would get from listing, and also the what kind of benefits they would get from listing, such as fundraising in a later time. Maybe they need to fund a new project. We have seen cases where they need to fund a new project, so you cannot really push your timeline. But we do see that across the board, firms are getting cautious in terms of raising capital at this point, including through IPOs.
All right, we've been talking about how the markets have been hit with all these uncertainties. So the STI actually was almost close to where we started at the start of the year.
Yes.
So are we looking at an opportunity to buy on dips right now, or is this a time for you to sit on your hands and wait for things to get better and a clearer sign that, you know, you should go in later?
I think investors, that's a good question. I think investors can look at this point to bottom fish some of the stocks that have been beaten down. Mm. We still think that valuations are a little bit frothy at this point, and investors should be picky in terms of the stocks that they pick right
okay,
now.
Okay, what's in your radar, Terence, when you talk about picky? What are you keeping your eye on?
So investors, I think we do expect the volatility to last for another 6 to 9 months, especially also with the US elections coming up next year. So we think as the US election kicks into high gear, you'll start to see a lot more volatility in the markets as the markets start to weigh who will come in as the next president or whether the incumbent will stay. So with that kind of timeline, about 6 to 9 months, we think a cautious approach and would then be warranted. And so that would then, investors should then pivot into more resilient stocks like healthcare, mm-hmm. certain construction stocks as well, because of government activity to boost the economy, and also probably higher yielding stocks.
Like, now, you mentioned construction. That's interesting because we had the GDP forecast for the year being cut. How does this affect construction? Are there any gems in the sector that you're looking at?
I think most of the numbers that have come out from Singapore so far have been generally weak. In the Nodex numbers that you mentioned earlier on as well have come in a lot more weaker than the first quarter numbers. In light of this, the MTI and the MAS has also actually downgraded some of their forecasts in terms of GDP growth for the year. So in a situation like this, we think that one of the things that the government will turn to would then be fiscal policy, and they would pump prime the economy. Mm. And a very low-hanging fruit for a fiscal policy would then to be investing in infrastructure projects such as the Jewel Airport that's open, and of course some of the other projects that they'll be doing, such as the IR projects and the North-South Corridor, to actually pump prime the economy.
Okay, construction sector stocks, are they overvalued now? What's the picture like?
Yeah, so the construction sector has actually gone through a downtrend over the last few years because construction activity is down. So one of the stocks that we recently covered is BRC Asia. So BRC Asia actually supply mesh and steel in Singapore. So they acquired Lee Metal a few years ago, and now they have an almost 70 to 80% market share in terms of the steel market in Singapore. So we think that any uplift in construction activity would benefit a steel maker like BRC Asia, listed on the Singapore Exchange.
Okay. We've been chatting with Terence Chua. He is a senior research analyst at SAC Capital. Terence, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Have a great day ahead.
You too. Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.